Burke on April 2nd, 2005. All right, my first question for you. What was life like before the war?
Well, I was a student nurse and had college to worry about, be concerned about. And so I was very busy there.
All right. So were you living in Montana? What university did you attend?
I went to Creighton University. My home was Nebraska.
Nebraska. And what was your family status like? Were you married?
No, I was single.
Okay.
And in college.
Single and in college. How about your political leanings? Did you feel that...
I had no political leanings at that time. I wasn't old enough to vote, so I wasn't concerned about it.
Okay. What was your family's perceptions regarding military service prior to the war?
I've got to say this. My family thought they were safe because they had no sons. Mm-hmm. And they were a little shocked when I told them that I was going to go into the service. But I also told them that many of the boys in my hometown were in the war. And I thought being a nurse, it was my goal.
Excellent. What were your perceptions of the war and its combatants prior to our entry?
Actually, I was so busy trying to pass my state board exams and all of that for nursing that I didn't pay that much attention to.
So the war was...
I really didn't.
The war was kind of an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
It was too far in the future.
So you, as going into nursing at the university, you hadn't really thought any... thought about ever going into some sort of military service?
No, it was just the profession I wanted to be in.
Excellent. And how long did you end up nursing?
All through the war, and then I did private duty after the war until I had children, and then I didn't work because my husband didn't want me to.
Okay.
And I wanted to be with my kids.
Always a good plan. Where were you and what were you doing when you found out that Pearl Harbor was attacked?
Oh, my. I'm trying to remember what year that was.
41.
December 7th, 1941.
I was still in nurse's training.
Well, they had you doing that for a long time, didn't they?
Well, it takes a while.
But when you heard about it, did you have an initial response?
Yes, that I would go into the service as soon as I could.
Shock and kind of, were you in disbelief that something like that could happen?
No. And at that time, I had a boyfriend over in the war. And I just felt that if we had, our boys were getting hurt, we had to go.
Hmm. So with Pearl Harbor being attacked, you definitely developed some very strong ideas about what you needed to do, which is really cool. That's awesome. What about your family's response when Pearl Harbor was attacked?
Well, they didn't want me to go. They were pleased that they had no sons and thought they had no worry, but I think they understood. At least they didn't try and stop me.
Sounds like you were going to go anyway. let's see, did you, being in at Creighton, did you hear about Jeanette Rankin's decision to, she was the only vote in Congress not to go to war?
I don't remember hearing anything about it.
Nothing about that? That was a pretty big deal out here this way. It's what we're still pretty famous for back in D.C. So you went and enlisted yourself into the military after.
Yes.
After the Pearl Harbor. All right. And What were your expectations once you enlisted? Did you...
I just knew that we'd be over helping, or trying to take care of the wounded.
And that's all that mattered, huh? All right. Well, tell me about your basic training. How long were you there, and what were you...
Well, it was 6 weeks, Colorado. Digging ditches that we could hide in, and the whole bit. We got the whole routine that the boys did.
And that still just amazes me. I didn't, like I said, I didn't expect that.
Well,
but
we did. I don't know whether the later ones did, but we did.
During your basic training, were you informed of the things that were going on over in Europe and on the seas, or were you pretty sheltered living in your...
No, they informed us of them. And my best friend that she and I, when we went in the service, we were prepared to go overseas if it was needed. And so it was just to be expected.
How was military life and the basic training rhetoric, how was that different from your civilian life?
Well, it was actually simpler. I mean, you got up, you put this on and wore this, and you went there at this time. And if you didn't go at that time, you didn't eat or whatever the occasion happened to be. And then just follow the rules.
That's the important one. And how did you feel about being away from home? Were you homesick at all?
No, I wasn't. We were too busy.
Too busy to be homesick. Were you able to make much contact with your family? And
well, I called home occasionally.
There wasn't a lot of time for that, though, was there?
It was a lot of time. There wasn't that much money. They didn't pay us that well at first.
That's probably true. What do you remember most about the basic training?
Probably, as I said before, the digging the trenches and the physical stuff that was good for me that I wasn't used to.
So that was probably what you liked the least about it.
No, I liked it, but it was it used a lot of energy, which we needed to use.
What was the best part about it? Did you make some, you know, some friends and some good connections through basic training that carried you through the war?
Yes, some.
And were you stationed with a lot of the same people that you...
No.
No?
And I wasn't.
Kind of out on your own.
Well, I can't see without glasses, and because of the possibility of going overseas, I'd be no good to anyone. And so I can't remember, 5 pairs or whatever it was of glasses they gave us, but then they assigned me when this ship was finished. They asked if I would be willing to go on it, because I would be on a ship. I wouldn't be on shore, where I'd have more chance of losing glasses and getting them wrecked and all that. And I said, fine, that sounds good to me.
Sound like you're pretty easy going.
I like ships. I like water.
What did you do for recreation during basic training? Did you have much time for that, or?
Yes, we did. We had to work our shifts, but we had time off, too.
So what would you guys do?
We could dance even. But any other teenagers did, or if we were still at that age. Mm-hmm.
Dancing, were there any sporting activities that you could kind of take part in? Like, did you guys play baseball?
No.
In big groups or anything like that? So just kind of went out and painted the town. What was it like meeting people from different areas of the country?
That I enjoyed. Of course, all my life, my father took us on a lot of trips as we were growing up in the summer. In the winter, we didn't see my father very much because he had his own business. But in the summer, he'd take time off and we'd take trips, and he'd show us all he could of the country.
Wow.
Of the United States. Mm-hmm. And he always said then, you have to worry about seeing the rest. And then I did.
Yeah, you definitely took care of that. By meeting these people from various areas and having an extended contact with them, did it change your perceptions of how people live throughout the world? Like, did you notice that people had different quirks from living in different areas?
One particular one, I remember a Jewish girl asked me to come to her house for a meal. And it was very, very different. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, but it surprised me because I didn't realize there was so much difference in the Jews, what they can serve at the same meal what they are allowed to eat and what they aren't allowed to eat and all of this. And I was brought up to you eat whatever you're served.
And not complain
yeah.
about it, huh? Well, once your basic training was over, did you feel that you were mentally and physically prepared? I mean, it sounds like you were pretty much mentally prepared because you knew what to expect mm-hmm. and you knew what you were going to be doing. But did you feel that basic training provided you with all the know-how and to get the job done?
I think it did.
All right. And what were some of your expectations as you were prepared to leave basic training?
Well, we hoped we'd get someplace that we'd enjoy being. And luckily, I did. Some assignments were more interesting than others, but it worked out fine.
All right. And where you were on the ship, the John E. Clem, where was that docked at originally?
I think I said E on there and it's L.
Oh, John L.
Yeah. When I wrote that down, I looked up the picture. What was your question?
Where was the ship docked at originally?
Jacksonville, Florida.
So you had to travel quite a ways from Colorado
yeah,
to...
down to Jacksonville.
About how long did that take you?
Well, they sent us down to New Orleans, and we worked there until the ship was finished. And that is near Jacksonville. New Orleans is, and we just went across and got on the ship.
So you were...
I think I was down there 5 or 6 weeks, maybe in New Orleans.
So you've been stationed in a couple of different hospitals before you were...
Mm-hmm.
on the ship?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What were your feelings as you boarded the ship for the first time? What was the atmosphere like? And
well, some were afraid, and I was very excited because I liked ships. It's ridiculous, but I mean, we had a cabin in Minnesota and a small boat, and I just loved being out on the water, so to me that was a thrill.
So your interest in ships sparked pretty young
yeah.
then. Getting out on that water, you must like swimming and stuff. So there was some excitement and there was some fear. When you left for sea the first time, did you guys know where you were going? Did they keep the crew?
They didn't. Well, actually, wait a minute. We did. We took some patients over. And we had prisoners of war that were shipped back and forth, different ones that we had to take or return with, besides working on the ship while we were there.
So you were almost like a cargo
ship.
Yeah, pretty much. You were kind of like a cargo ship
yeah,
in sorts.
It was wherever we were needed, they sent us. This was one of the smallest ones, and we got sent faster because we were already ready to go always.
Mm-hmm. So where were some places that you got to go to?
Well, back and forth all around the Mediterranean to the different countries. We would shuttle back and forth, Africa and Greece and Italy and up into Rome. And
so
we'd get... you know, leave sometimes so that we could, in fact, I think it was 5 days we had to spend in Rome. And
that
was special to me. I'm a Catholic, and it was very interesting.
So again, while you're out on the water and in between taking care of everyone and making sure everything was running properly, mm-hmm. did you have some downtime to take some activities there? I mean, how did you pass the time?
We collapsed is what we did. If we weren't working, we collapsed.
You took a break. That sounds like a good, good deal to me.
Around on the deck, they'd have... You can't see them on there. Yeah, there's some up here you can see. There'd be some benches out on the decks that we could go outside. Heck, where is... Our room was back in here. But there's a couple ways to come out onto the rack. The edge there. And there's seats. You can either stand and watch as the boat goes, or you can sit down. And the rooms are all within the center of it.
All right.
It was one of the smallest hospital ships they had at the time.
So you guys just kind of play cribbage?
Oh, yeah. That's when I guess you're right, Kathy. That's where I learned to play cribbage.
That's a good game.
There were, I'm trying to remember, 5, 6, 7 nurses maybe, and 4 or 5 doctors. And we had a little office area out there that we could play cards and whatever in when we weren't working.
So you were pretty small staff then?
Yeah.
Did you?
It was, but we had a lot of servicemen that did the majority of the work,
mm-hmm.
because first of all they sent us all over, I guess I said before, in dresses, and there are 3 decks that you have to stand on, lower decks to take care of the upper decks and so forth. So soon they realized that we had to have slacks. It's got to be a change here.
So it was just naval servicemen that would help you out, or...
This was an army.
Army?
Army.
Oh.
Yeah, that
sure
sounds
enough.
Ridiculous, but it's an army hospital ship.
Well, not ridiculous. The Navy has
the Navy airplanes. The Navy was slow at coming, too. I think they finally got some. But
huh. So did you ever encounter some U-boats as you came across, or did you ever have to defend yourself on the ship?
No.
So they did take that Red Cross pretty serious.
Yeah, I think so.
On your ship, didn't you have some friends on another?
Oh, I had it got very confusing to everyone on board. A young boat, a small boat came alongside and asked to come aboard and see me, a person on the boat. And everyone's hanging over the deck thinking it's mail being brought out to us. You know, we'd be anchored out. This happened to be anchored out from Italy at the time. And he wanted to come aboard and see me. And it's a kid from my hometown. I didn't even know him. I knew his older brother. But he knew that someone from Plattsmouth, Nebraska was there. And he was going to see him. And then he got permission to come on board, and then he got permission to take me on board his ship, which was a flagship, and it was real interesting, real different. And everyone kind of stared at me when I got on board it with him, but it was fun.
He was going to make that...
And we knew each other's names, and that was it, you know.
How did he find you? Just... knew that you were on there and looked you up or something?
Our hometown had a little newspaper on the people that were in the service of where they were. And his brother had written to him that I was going to be over there.
Wow.
And so then, like I said, I got to go on his ship, and that was an experience too. Everyone looking at me like, what's that woman doing on board? But it was interesting.
Oh, wow. So the community was... very supportive of...
I was born and raised in a small town.
So they were rooting for you back home
then. Yeah.
That's good. That community support is pretty important.
Well, there were, in a small town like that, was it was what 4,000 and something, I think, back then. If you did anything good, better, and different, it was known all over town.
When you had wounded men on the ship, what ways did you kind of try to keep their morale up? Was it difficult to keep them, keep their hope up? And
It was. It took a lot of time and a lot of silliness to make them smile and stuff. And finally one day, I don't know, there were a couple of them that were cast from here down. The tips of their toes were out. And one guy says, "I'm just sick and tired of looking at this cast and those toes down there." I said, "Well, I'll take care of that." And I went and got my fingernail polish bright red and painted his toenails. Then every guy on that darn ward had to have red toenails. So we had a ward full of red toenails and I ran out of polish. Silly little things we did. Anything we could do to get a smile, a laugh, tear, whatever.
Did you find yourselves in getting men out of hostile areas a lot, or heard they move from, you know, war zones to a hospital to the ship? Were you ready?
No, we just picked up the wounded.
Once you got them back into the States, did you have much contact with them then? Did you continue caring for them or provide further treatment?
No.
You just turned around and and went right back out? Well, so a lot of back and forth trips. You did mention that you had some leave time. Did they kind of separate that up in between once you got back to the States? Were you able to go on leave in America?
When we got back to the States, we never knew for sure when we had to get right back. They'd have to let us know.
So you had to stay.
So we'd head for home right away. They knew where we were. We had to let them know where we were going.
Mm-hmm. Where were some?
So they could call us back then.
And where were some of the other places in Europe that you had to go to? I know you'd mentioned Rome. Did you get to spend any time in Greece or?
Not really.
Just
different spots in Italy I got to spend time in, different spots in North Africa, and let's see, where else did we get to go once in a while?
Marseille.
Yeah, Marseille.
Where you made a special purchase.
And what was that?
Nativity set.
I have a very, very special nativity set. It's all like hand carved and
And that was from where?
Marseille.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Right. Well, where were you when you heard that the war was over? Were you still out at sea or were you docked somewhere?
I was home on leave.
And how did you feel about it ending? Were you excited? Were you
kind of surprised and glad all at the same time?
Mm-hmm. How about the way it ended? Did that really surprise you? Just with our actions on Japan and
yeah, it did surprise me, but. I was glad it was over, and then my husband was headed for the South Pacific, and luckily he hadn't left yet, so he didn't have to go, so it worked out fine for both of us.
So did you get married then while in service, or were you, you'd mentioned that you'd had a boyfriend that was across the seas.
Yeah, that.
Did that turn into be?
That's not the one I
that's
married.
That's not the one you married.
No, I met this Irishman and I couldn't get rid of him before I married him. He's kind of a crazy guy. Sometimes my daughter wonders about him. he proposed the day he met me, and he didn't stop till I said yes.
Holy cow, very persistent. Well, what were your expectations once the war was over? Did you expect things to calm down right away, or did you think that we would have to continue to take some sort of military action in Europe? Police action?
I guess I didn't think much about it.
You're just glad it was over. And what was your trip like home after you'd left the ship?
Well, I was already home on leave when the peace was declared.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no problem.
You were home and that was all that mattered. Were you on the same ship throughout your entire service?
Yes.
Or you were on the same guy? So you got to know that one pretty well.
From when I left New Orleans, I got on that ship until the end. Hmm. We were just down there while the ship was being finished. Because I wasn't, as I started before on the glasses bit, because of the glasses I wasn't going to be allowed to go any place on land over there during the war. But when they found that they could put me on the ship, they knew I'd be safe as far as glasses, and it was fine. And a lot of people get seasick, and I never did, so.
Well, that's good. How did you guys handle getting seasick? How did your cohorts, were there remedies for that, or did you just kind of have to tough it out?
They had to tough it out, and we had a dentist, bless his heart. The minute that boat got untied at the dock, he was seasick. And he was seasick the whole time. So if you had to have dental work done, you waited till you were anchored someplace. Well, I'm not kidding, you did. Then we'd fight over who got to get our teeth fixed.
Oh my, that would be a little bit of difficult. I don't know that I could handle the rough waters.
I don't know, I must be unusual, because it just didn't bother me in the least. You had a little trouble walking to keep your balance, but seasick I didn't get.
Did you guys get caught in many storms, or was it relatively smooth sailing?
No, it was pretty good. We didn't get caught in that any.
Nothing that sticks out there. Well, let's see. Once you got home and once the war was over, did you keep contact with your shipmates, or?
Some I still do.
Did any of them reside anywhere close to you, or?
No.
No? You all went your separate ways and got spread out again?
I still hear from some of them. Some of them have passed on already, and I happen to be one of the younger ones that was on the ship. It's a long time ago.
When you got home, when you were on leave, you probably weren't expecting the war to be over just being on leave, but what were the first things that you would get to do when you got home? Is there anything special that you wanted to go grab, like a hamburger? Or?
Of course, I can't even remember anything. Actually, nurses and doctors on board the ship were well fed. I'm sure the enlisted weren't, but we didn't need anything.
There was
more than enough food.
All right. Did on the ship, I should have mentioned this when we were talking about earlier, but as far as forms of recreation other than cards and cribbage and stuff, did you guys get to see any movies, or did you kind of keep up with the pop culture back home?
They had a few movies that we could watch. But other than that, not a whole lot. We did have a minister on board that was quite a character. got to tell you this. It struck me so funny. Anyway, we were... He loves to swim, and we were anchored out from Italy. And anyone that was a good swimmer was allowed to swim. Well, he didn't stop and think about it. He dove in with his clothes and lost his shorts. And they're floating around. He's down there trying to swim over toward him, trying to get him on. We're all standing up on top like that. It was a bit ridiculous, but then that's
rather
with the trip.
Yeah, rather embarrassing for a minister to have to lose his shorts.
Especially this one that was so proud and proper all the time. That's what made it so funny. Anyone else wouldn't have, you know, thought anything of it, so I lost my shorts.
Made it worth the trip, huh? Oh, that's funny. When you were home after the war was all over, how did people react to your being home? Were they, you know, did they celebrate you, or it was just another
Nothing
day?
Nothing special, another day.
They didn't have any, even though it was a small town, they didn't have like a parade or anything like that? Just a pat on the back?
Didn't expect anything, even.
You just did what you had to do?
Yeah. Did what I wanted to do, and that was it. I didn't regret 1 minute of the time I spent over there.
That's good.
Pretty tired sometimes, but that was good for us, too.
What was your community like after you returned? What struck you? Were things different, or...?
I don't really think they were. It was just a small town.
Did you get anything new that was the talk of the town? Or?
Not that I know of.
We didn't have to worry about ration books.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Forgot about that.
All right, well, how was your civilian life different from military life? Did you have an easy adjustment? Or did you find things were difficult, you know, as far as getting out of the strict
mode? The worst thing was finding a place to live. Mm. Trying to find apartments were hard to find. We first moved in with, well, the girl that I had gone into the service with, she and her husband had bought a home. And I was up there living with them so that I could work in Omaha instead of my home in Plattsmouth, because there's no hospitals there. And so I stayed with them, and then when my husband got out of the service, he and I found an apartment. And stayed in Omaha instead, because that's where the work was, where the hospitals were and all. And where Jack started with Sears and worked with it for the rest of his life.
Did you find that it was hard to... on the ship, did you have to have things just so as far as your bunks or as far as the cleanliness of the ship? And
Definitely. It reminded me of nurses' training. I mean, we had a... This was about how wide our clothing area was, a little place to hang our things. And of course, when you're in uniform, you don't have that wide variety of things. And then we had a little drawer under our bunk, and we had double bunks. And we happened to be, my roommate's aunt was I don't want to call her a volunteer, I can't think what they called her on the ship, but anyway, she just kind of handled and helped a lot of people with a lot of things. They had blankets and quilts and all sorts of things that the GIs needed, and if we didn't, whatever. Anyway, it was her aunt, and she wanted a room by herself. Well, she couldn't have one because there wasn't enough rooms. So she settled for her niece and me. So she got her double bunk by herself and her two doors, and we got a door each.
So,
but we got along fine. she didn't bother us and we didn't bother her.
So did you find that by having these, you know, just so ways kind of ingrained, it sounds like through nurses' school and through basic training and through the course of being on the ship, was that hard for you to break? Or do you, you know, once you got back home, or did you kind of continue having things just so, and did, you know, that kind of carry on and through your life?
In my own room, yes.
That's funny. Usually, if you have something that you're just so set with, it kind of passes down, and do you feel that you've kind of found some of those?
I don't know. She used to keep it all neat. I don't
know.
Yeah.
That was a structure.
Just one of those ways of life. Well, did you receive any benefits from the war? Did you use them? Or you? I know they kind of... a lot of guys would come back and go to school or something. You'd already gotten that taken care of, but did you receive anything from the government as far as benefits?
A little compensation, yes.
And how did you use them, do you recall?
I've used them to buy medications and that sort of thing.
Oh, so they're still carrying over to... Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's a good deal. What about the war made the biggest impact on you? What's something that just sticks out in your mind more than anything else as far as your experience that you went through?
Going to Rome.
And did Rome get hit with a lot of fighting and stuff? I mean, I know the ruins are all still there, and
yeah,
that was still fairly intact, mm-hmm. and got to see all that. The Colosseum.
It was just being Catholic, it was just a thrill to get to go to Rome.
So no wartime. You know, as far as being out on that ship, did any you know, crossing the ocean and going, you know, through the Mediterranean, you said, was there anything that struck you and made an impact on you as far as how people in that area even lived? I mean, we talked about the culture as far as in America, but how about the way the rest of the world lived? Did anything...
Well, some of our shuttling back and forth, as I said before... when we were taking some of the Africans back, they had their own ladies along, where the other Americans and so forth took what there was to offer in foreign countries, the men that wanted. And I was surprised when they came aboard with these, I think it was 6 or 8 women that looked like they were well used. Sad, but the only way to explain it.
So it really just kind of...
It threw me. It just was...
Yeah. You know, you've got this idea and kind of gets shattered.
You brought up one way and then you know others aren't.
Yeah. Huh. That's something. How would you sum up your service? If you could, you know, paint a picture, you know, what would it look like? Would it be, you know, portrayed more as a enjoyable, exciting experience, or would you kind of sum it up as...
No, I enjoyed it. I got to a lot of different places. And
so you were one of the ones that had a definite... Yeah. Positive experience from the war.
Mm-hmm. Can't complain about it at all.
Well, I mean, what did it mean to you? Is, you know, did it just being able to help people and being able to...
Which is my way of life. I mean, it's just been my primary care ever since I was a child. I wanted to be a nurse. Why, I don't know, but I did, and so I was just perfectly happy in it.
Um, Would you do it again?
Absolutely.
Very strong opinions about that. I can see it in your eyes.
I would.
And would you encourage family members to join?
I think they have to want to on their own. No, I wouldn't encourage anyone unless they sounded like they wanted to.
It's definitely
because it's a different life, and there's rules that have to be followed, and certain clothes that have to be worn, and all of this sort of thing that you have to go along with.
Did you have any members in your family later on go into?
I just have one sister, and she's a teacher. She was a teacher. She's not alive any longer, but no brothers.
What about children, grandchildren? Anybody else go into the service, or?
Trying to remember.
Your sister's husband.
Yeah, my sister's husband, but not any younger ones.
All right.
And he was in the service.
How do you feel about Hollywood's portrayal of the war? You think it's relatively accurate, or is it?
I guess I've not paid any attention to Hollywood's portrayal of the war.
Not a movie buff.
We talked about how fancy their uniforms
were. They had all kinds of braid and brass on them and everything. But I had forgotten all about that too, Kathy.
Did having the Nazi soldiers on there, how were they treated? How were the prisoners in general treated?
Well, the only thing I can remember about the Nazis was it was my duty to give everyone the shots. And I wanted so much to just go, yeah! Every time I came to a Nazi, but I didn't. You know, just like, should I? No, can't do that.
Where were the prisoners taken to?
To over here in this country? I'm trying to remember now. We're on the East Coast. Where did we come from? That's terrible. It's been so long ago. I can't remember where it was.
But there were German prisoner of war camps in this country where the prisoners were brought over.
Yeah.
And these are Nazi officers.
So you would take, let me see if I'm getting this kind of map right.
They were wounded, correct?
The Nazis were wounded?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're leaving, you're leaving the States, and you've got, did you take healthy men over, drop them off, get wounded, and come back?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how the route went? And about how long would it take you to get across, you know, weeks, months?
I don't remember any longer how long it took.
I think it was weeks.
It couldn't have been months, I don't think. It should have been weeks.
It was definitely a long boat ride. do you remember what other kind of prisoners of war you had besides Nazis? I mean, did you have any other access?
I have some Italians. I think when you're off the coast of Italy.
Yeah, we did have some Italian ones.
Hmm.
That's terrible that my memory is failing me so much.
It's all right. It's been a while, so. Well, excellent.
Well, I thought that incident of the death of another woman nurse on a different hospital ship was.
That was mother's.
Yeah, important to learn about.
Yeah.
And she had joined some kind of a group.
Mother had joined a group in Omaha of mothers that had daughters in the service, and She was very concerned then, because I had said I'm perfectly safe on the hospital ship. I thought I was perfectly safe. Turned out I was safe. This other girl wasn't.
So did that ship sink entirely, or did it just...
I don't know any of the details about that ship.
But it definitely threw up some red flags.
She was killed.
Never can be too sure.